33. While you're turning there, let me say this morning, this coming Wednesday night, there is a debate that's going to happen on TV between the two presidential men running for president, and I would really like to encourage you to watch that debate. This election may change America forever, so it's very important that you know what's going on, and as Christians, you vote. So watch the debate this coming Wednesday night. Anyone know what time it starts? I think it's like 8 or 9 o'clock. 8:55. All right. Thank you, Lisa. Watch it. Know what's going on. Very, very important elections this coming year, and you really need to vote. You need to vote according to God's word and according to the values that God tells us in his word. And the last thing you need to do is to vote selfishly. Don't ever vote saying, what will this guy do for me? Vote according to the values and the beliefs of the Word of God. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Word. Help us, Lord, this morning to be attentive and receptive to your Word. And I pray, Lord, as we listen, we would hear your truth. May your truth go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And may we hear it, apply it, and live it. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. There is a new fear that was named, finally has a, quote, scientific name to it. And I don't remember what it was. I heard it this morning as I was leaving. But the fear is the fear of losing your cell phone. How many of you have that fear? You do? The fear of losing your cell phone. You know, last Sunday morning, I shared with you one of my fears. I thought this Sunday morning, I would give you the opportunity for you to share one of your fears. So here this morning has a fear. Kevin. Bees. You're afraid of bees, okay? Heights. Spiders. Rejection. Falling. I think that fits with heights, right? Fire. Who else? How many of you were covered by one of those ones that were said? Yeah, it fits into a lot of us. There's probably others that you may have. You know, most of the time we talk about getting rid of our fears, right? We talk about taking our fears and pushing them to the side and that we should not have those fears and we need to get away from those fears. But this morning, I want to talk to you about a fear that you must have, that you should have, and that you better have. It is the fear of the Lord. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And there is no way I'm going to get through it all this morning. But I will finish the topic this morning. That's my goal anyway. I want to give you a basis for what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord from, as we've been looking on Sunday mornings, from the book of Proverbs, although we'll look at a bunch of other verses also. The fear of the Lord. In Psalm 33, let's begin with the first idea I want to share with you. The fear of the Lord commanded. The Bible commands us to fear God. Psalm 33. Look with me at verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33 in verse 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Look at Psalm 34. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you, his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. You know, we might say as Christians, yeah, I know the world needs to fear the Lord, but we shouldn't fear the Lord, right? We're supposed to love God, and God loves us, and that casts out all fear, so we shouldn't have any fear of God. But notice Psalm 34, verse 9 says, "You, his saints, fear the Lord." Turn over with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, the great sermon of Joshua when he nears the end of his life and he talks to the Israelites about making sure they keep their life right with God. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, notice what he says. Joshua 24, verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Notice that, dads and fathers. It's not giving everybody choices. Look, here's what we're going to do in my family. We are going to serve the Lord, not just me, but my entire house. We are going to serve the Lord and fear him. Turn over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Samuel's speaking, and he says, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Fear the Lord." We see it in the Psalms. We see it in Joshua. We see it in Samuel. Now, I know someone might say, "But you know what? That's just the Old Testament. The Old Testament talks about a real scary God, and we ought to fear that God." The New Testament surely doesn't say that. Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. And I want you to notice from the very lips of Jesus, he says the same thing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, the him being spoken of here is not Satan, it is God. From the very lips of Jesus, he says, look, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Now turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. And skip down to verse 21. Proverbs 24 and verse 21. "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both." Fear the Lord. You know, I can go to many other passages and scriptures in the Bible, and we would see over and over and over God proclaiming, God in fact commanding us to fear the Lord. I'm afraid in our society, we have lost that. We have lost our fear of the Lord. And the more mankind loses his fear of the Lord, the more you will see mankind turn away from God, and the more you will see mankind live a sinful lifestyle. Because he's lost what it is to understand and to know what it means to fear the Lord. So we are commanded in the Word of God, fear the Lord. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean when the Bible says, fear the Lord? Let's define it. Number two, fear the Lord defined. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, if you want to have knowledge, if you want to be wise, it begins with fearing God. It is the very first step. It is the very foundation. You will never become wise. You will never understand knowledge. In fact, you'll be like the fool. The fool despises wisdom. The fool despises instruction. But if you want to be wise, it begins right at the footstep of fearing the Lord. How can you ever be wise? Think about it. How can you ever be wise if you mess up the most important relationship that we need to have, our relationship with God? If your relationship with God is not right, there is no way you can ever be wise. And your relationship with God will never be right until you learn to fear the Lord. In fact, I want you to hold your finger there and turn over with me to Ecclesiastes. In fact, never mind. You don't have to do that. Just stay right there. I want to read something to you. Ecclesiastes is a book where Solomon kind of looks back in his older age at his life. He looks back over life and he says, you know, as I lived my life, I sought after a bunch of different things. I sought after wealth. I sought after enjoyment. I sought after fame and power. He says he even sought after sex. And as I sought after all these things, I sought them to find pleasure in life. And he says through all those things, he never really did find pleasure. Never found it. Until he realized something. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, here's what he says that he learned as he looked over life. Listen. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. As he looked over his life, he began to understand. He came to the conclusion, look, the whole duty of man can be summarized in a very simple statement. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is what God desires from us. That is what God desires from us. So if you look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, look, that is the very beginning of knowledge. If you don't start there, you're never going to get it. If you don't start there, you're never going to gain wisdom. It begins right there. So let's stop for a moment. You may need to turn over to the back of your sheet. You may have room in your notes. But let me define for you what I believe it means to fear the Lord. And I'm going to give you four things, four statements. Number one, it is the result of realizing the immense difference between us and God. Fear of the Lord is the result of understanding the immense difference between us and God. And let me say it another way. It is understanding the difference between puny man and Almighty God. And the difference is vast. You know, I sometimes hear people talk about God. They use phrases like, oh, he's the man upstairs. Or they use God's name in vain. They make a mockery of God and they talk about him as if he was nothing. That tells me they have no idea of the gap between the Almighty Creator of this universe and us. I think of Isaiah. Remember in Isaiah 6 when Isaiah kind of is brought by vision before the throne of God and the angels are shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah sees that and he basically thinks he's going to die. And if you look at the Bible, every time someone came into the presence of God and saw the face of God, their immediate reaction was, I'm going to die. In all those cases, God in his grace says, look, you're not going to die. Because God graciously allowed them to live. Think about it this way. If we were to come in our sinfulness into the presence of God for 1/1,000,000th of a second, because of his greatness and our own sinfulness, we would be dead in that moment. Do you fully understand? Have you been able to grapple with the space that lies between the greatness of God and who we are? I think it is there where the fear of the Lord begins. It is there where we begin to understand who God is. As we read the Word of God and dig into and learn about God, we realize, look, he's awesome and great, and he's a great God, and who am I? Number two, it is a recognition of who God is and so responding to God by revering him, trusting, worshiping, obeying, serving. A lot of words, but simply says that once we recognize who God is, we give our life to him. Once we recognize God's greatness, we stand in awe of God. Back when the scribes would write the Old Testament and they would copy the Word of God, do you know every time they came to God's name, they would grab a new pen that had never been written before, a quill, they would write the name of God and then they would cast it away because they would never use it again because they understood God's greatness. And there was a reverence for God's greatness. There was an awe for God. It's kind of like the feeling you get sometimes when you walk into a, quote, church building, and there's kind of stained windows, and you walk into a building like that, and there's almost like an awe that's there. Do you know the only reason we can pray to God? Do you know the only reason we can talk to God? It's because of Jesus. You know, oftentimes when a person would come and stand before the king, if the king hadn't allowed that person to come into their presence, the king would have that person immediately killed. Because the idea was, who are you to come into the presence of a king? The only reason we can come into the presence of God in prayer is because we come in Jesus' name. We come before an awesome and holy God. Now, the response to that is not to kind of shake in fear, but it's to come in awe. It's to come in reverence. It's to come realizing that God is great, and because he is great, my response to his greatness is to say, God, here am I. send me. God, here am I. You are so great. I can do nothing other than to give my life for you. And that is why we serve God. It's not because we're afraid he's going to zap us. We serve God because he's an awesome and great God. And in his graciousness, he has decided to use us to serve him. So we serve him, we trust him, we obey him, we live for him, we revere him. Number three, we've realized the difference between us and God. We've responded to that by serving God and obeying him. And number three, it is a feeling of reverent awe and not terror. It is a feeling of reverent awe and not terror. I say that even though I've already said it to make sure we understand. That God's great love, though he is awesome and though he is great, his great love and mercy and graciousness makes us not fear him, but does make us have an awe of him that is reverent, that is amazing, that understands that we come before a holy, a great, and awesome God. But a God who is gracious and loving. And so we serve him. And number four, it is a dread, D-R-E-A-D, that we might do something that would displease him. It is a dread that we would do something that would displease him. In other words, when we come before God and we realize who he is, and we realize that he loved us so much, he sent his only son to die on the cross for us, and he did it in his grace and mercy. We turn back towards that very same God who has forgiven us. And we look at our own lives and say, wow. God has loved me that much. I'm going to make sure that I don't do anything ever to displease him. I'm going to make sure that I only do those things in my life that would make him happy. Have you ever had somebody show kindness to you that was just kind of beyond imagination? You kind of take a step back and you say, wow, I can't believe they did that for me. I'm just amazed that they were so kind and so loving towards me. And therefore, your response is that you just want to do something for them. There's just something in it that says, I want to help them so much. You know, what can I do for you? That ought to be our attitude towards God. A dread that somehow we would do something that would cause God's name to be shamed. Somehow we would do something that would dishonor him. Somehow we would do something that would hurt him. So we say of God, God, the only thing I want to do is do what you want me to do, and I want to be this in the center of what you desire for my life. So I'm going to come to the word, your words, and I'm going to scour them, and I'm going to dig into them, and I'm going to tear them apart to find out, God, what your will for my life is. We do that because we love him so much. And we also do that because we know one day we'll stand in his presence. And he will judge every word of ours. He will judge every deed of ours to see if we've been faithful to him. Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 8. So we're defining the fear of the Lord, and by definition we're saying it's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And let me also say that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Someone who fears God hates evil. Why? Because God hates evil. Why? Because God is holy. Why? Because if we embrace evil, we embrace everything that God hates. God hates sin, therefore someone who hates or fears God does the very same thing. Notice the words he used here. Pride means to be lifted up, arrogance. It is a self-evaluation that swells you up with pride. The way of evil, wicked behavior, perverted speech is speech that is perverse or foolish or deceitful. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and it is the beginning, the foundation of knowledge. Now, if someone fears God, will there be signs in their life? Will there be something in their life that shows whether I fear God or not? So let's, number three, let's characterize what it means to fear the Lord. Characterization of what it means to fear the Lord. Now, turn over with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. The context here is that of the judgment seat of Christ, when all believers, all Christians will stand before Jesus and be judged for their life from the time they receive Christ as Savior until the time they either die or are taken up in the rapture. And he says, based on that judgment, based on knowing what it is to fear the Lord, notice the end of verse 9, it says, we make it our aim to please him. So let me say, one of the things that characterizes someone who fears God is a person who has a desire to please God. They have a desire to please God. Every waking moment, their desire is to do what God wants them to do. They have a desire to please the Lord. Turn back again with me to chapter 3 in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Humility. Not only a desire to please the Lord, but humility. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. Someone who fears God is not wise in their own eyes. Why? Because they realize there's someone greater than them. Someone who is wise in their own eyes is a person who's full of pride. They think they got all the answers. They think they know it all. They think they're smarter than everybody else. He says, look, don't be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord. I already gave you Proverbs 8:13. The third thing that would characterize those who fear the Lord is a hatred of evil. Someone who fears the Lord hates evil. Turn over to chapter 14, Proverbs 14, verse 2. A fourth characteristic of those who fear the Lord is a righteous lifestyle. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord. But he who is devious in his ways despises him. So notice, if you fear the Lord, you have a righteous lifestyle. We can tell who fears the Lord by the way they live. Those who fear the Lord have a righteous lifestyle. Chapter 16, Proverbs 16, verse 6. not only a righteous lifestyle, but a walking away from evil. Proverbs 16:6. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. If you have understood, embraced, lived out what it means to fear the Lord, it means that you will turn away from evil. Someone who's living a sinful lifestyle, someone who embraces evil, it shouts out that they don't know what it means to fear the Lord. One more verse. Turn with me to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. I want you to know someone who fears the Lord is content. Content. Notice, fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. You're content. You understand God. You understand who God is. You understand God's relationship with this world. You understand your relationship with this world. You understand the world's relationship with God. And therefore, there's a sense of contentment in your life, a sense of rest in your life, because you absolutely know that God is in absolute total control. Desire to please God, humility, hatred of evil, righteous lifestyle, walking away from evil, contentment. How do you get it? How does one come to fear the Lord? I said that was the last verse. Let me give you one last verse. Sorry for doing that to you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. I can't stop there. Proverbs chapter 2. You'll notice number 4 in your notes. The fear of the Lord learned. The fear of the Lord learned. How do you come to a place in your life where you embrace what it means to fear the Lord? Look at this. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then and only then, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So how do you come to understand and embrace and learn what it means to fear God? It is only by digging into the Word of God. It is only by entrenching yourself in God's Word, meditating on it, making God's Word have its home in your life, that you will come to know what it means to fear the Lord. That you will come to that place in your life where your relationship with God is right. You know what that means, Christian? That means that you don't just bring your Bible to church, and then when you get home from church, you throw it over in the corner, you never look at it again until the next Sunday. That means when you come to church, you open up your Bible and you dig into it as we learn God's Word. That means you daily are spending time in the Word of God so you can get to know who God is and understand Him and know Him and then realize your relationship with Him. Now notice when you do that, number 5 in your notes, the fear of the Lord blessed. Do you know that when you fear God, there are some really, really good results? Physical health? Well, I don't mean that you will be healthy and never get sick. But do you know that most people who are sick because of stress? Do you know the thing that puts more people in hospitals than anything else is stress? Remember, the person who fears the Lord rests content. Longer life? Didn't say long life. I said a longer life than you would have had if you did not fear the Lord. Security, wisdom, avoidance of evil, contentment. The Bible even says riches, honor, and life. Riches like this world would never understand. Honor like this world cannot give. A life that only can be found in God. If you look at number 6 in your notes, the fear of the Lord chosen. The Bible tells us that it is chosen over great wealth, Proverbs 15:16. And the Bible tells us that it is chosen by a woman who is truly beautiful. It says that all this outward adornment is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord should be praised. God commands us to fear Him. When we understand what that really means, it'll have an impact on our life like few other things can. And we'll know when you've come to that place in your life where you know what it is and you believe it and you follow it and you live it, because your life will be different. You know, when God gave the Ten Commandments, the Bible says there was lightning and thunder and all kinds of noise. And afterwards, the Bible says you can read about it when the Ten Commandments were given. God says, if people do not fear me, they will not obey these commandments. And in Romans chapter 3, when it gives a description of us, it says one of the reasons that we sin is because we do not fear the Lord. If you want to come to a place in your life where you really live to please Him, where you really live and run away from evil, you will dig into the Word of God and fully contain and understand what it means to fear Him. And it will change everything that you do. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that we like the Apostle Paul, would not only know you for salvation, but we would know you far beyond that. And that every day of our life, we would gain in our knowledge of you and grow in our relationship with you. Help us, Father, to understand and know what it means to fear you. And I pray, Lord, when we come there, that nothing in our life will ever be the same. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This time